welcome back 2016 to the Hot Lap, our, well, not first show of the year, but our first show of the current Grand Prix big race season. Alex, how are you feeling?
Good afternoon, welcome. I'm all good. Is it our first podcast of the year?
No,
is
we did one in January.
Oh, okay. I can only apologise that we've not really done a build-up or already, you know, it's quite late after the Australian Grand Prix.
It is quite late, but there's a lot of, interestingly, there's a lot of news to talk about, and a lot of it is not actually on the track.
No, I mean, where do we, we'll come into it later, but there's some good sort of stuff going around at the moment, and some quite interesting stuff coming up for this weekend's Bahrain Grand Prix.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, considering the Australian Grand Prix in the history books, should we quickly go through that? And then,
no, and then.
The news. I mean, in the race, a Mercedes won. When you actually looked at the results, if you didn't watch the race, you probably would have rolled your eyes and said, "Same again as last year." Oh dear.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like that, was it?
No, because had you been watching the race, it's probably fair to say that Ferrari lost that race.
And obviously you'd be in the Ferrari. I said Ferrari threw that race away. Some people have been saying, though, to be fair to Ferrari, that obviously what happened is halfway through the race, Fernando Alonso had a massive crash, and we'll get into that a bit later. But as a result of that, the race had to be restarted. And just as we found out a couple of years ago, Sebastian Vettel in Monaco, you can change your tyres during the red flag, and everyone did just that. Mercedes changed their tyres to the medium tyres, which they've got a lot of experience in testing. Ferrari, who were leading the race with Vettel, changed it to the soft tyres. That's what, and their plan was to be so fast that they'd make up a pit stop at some point. However, a lot of people have said that Ferrari can't get on with the medium tyres, and they had no choice but to use the soft.
Yeah, it's a bit of a reversal because didn't sort of a year or so ago, I think Mercedes were a bit more sort of prone to having the sort of tyre wear issues, weren't they? And Ferrari could sort of cater for all kind of compounds. And now it would appear this year that maybe the Mercedes can handle the compounds a bit better than Ferrari.
Yeah. I think you might be right. However, what we can't deny, though, is at least in Australia, Ferrari is closer to Mercedes.
A lot closer, yeah. And obviously, it would have been interesting to see how Raikkonen would have dealt with it all.
He seems to get the worst luck. It always reminds me of, you know, right, Rubens Barrichello back in the Ferrari years.
Yeah.
It, 9 times out of 10, if it went wrong, it would be his car, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. But they're talking over the last couple of days that Raikkonen could well be up for the Bahrain Grand Prix as a potential winner. Not because he's just driving Ferrari, but just because of his history and his results there previously.
Yes, yeah, he doesn't have a too bad record there, and it's one of his good tracks. Nico Rosberg won, Lewis Hamilton finished second, which I don't think Hamilton would be disappointed with that, considering at one point he was seventh, and he could not get past the Toro Rossos.
Lewis, that was a bit of a what do they call the phrase? Bit of damage limitation, really, for Lewis. He was a bit lucky on that to get second.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of all start. He got a very slow start. Both Ferraris got a really good, fantastic start, and were 1-2 on the first lap. And then Rosberg kind of, I think, Rosberg is so obsessed with beating Lewis that he kind of tried to do everything to stop Lewis getting ahead of him. And as a result, he ended up being third after the second corner, you know?
Mm. But then there's rumours, isn't there, that Ferrari, you're just going to see it every race, just have fantastic starts.
Yeah, but they've always had, even in the days of Alonso, their starts have always been quite good.
Yeah.
With the Ferrari.
Yeah,
and obviously Sebastian Vettel finishing third. I think Vettel will be, I think, had he not been leading this race coming into this weekend, if you would have said you'd finish third with it, you know, 9 seconds behind the Mercedes, he probably would have been fairly happy for the first race. But I do think he walked away from this disappointed, as you said, because they kind of threw the race away.
Yeah. Do you reckon he would have had Hamilton had he not made that mistake towards the end of the race?
Oh, see, I don't know. Very light, possibly, yeah. I mean, I think it would have been one or two laps. I think because Lewis was having so much trouble getting past Max Verstappen,
yeah.
I was wondering whether Vettel would have the same difficulties, bearing in mind the Mercedes are a lot and Ferrari a lot closer in speed to the yeah. Mercedes and Toro Rosso. I think it may have needed a mistake from Hamilton. Had it been Bahrain, I think Vettel would have been passed easy because it's easy to pass there.
Yeah. It's a difficult circuit to pass on, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the DRS really wasn't working as well as intended, was it, seemingly at Albert Park?
Yeah. It is difficult, I think. I mean, you just saw Max Verstappen and Carlos Sainz as a sort of passing thing, that they just spent laps and laps just trying to get past Palmer. It's not that easy to pass on that circuit.
No, it isn't. It isn't. I mean, we've got fourth, Daniel Ricciardo, fifth, Felipe Massa and the Williams, Red Bull and Williams. Williams have definitely gone back, haven't they, again this season, would you say?
I say they've kind of started where they finished from last year. That sort of like, they didn't really finish too much on top, did they? And they haven't really started this season strong. I'll be honest, I expected them ahead of Red Bull.
Yes, and it looks like Red Bull kind of have the measure on them.
Yeah, despite having an average engine still.
They have a very average engine.
No matter how you look at it, Red Bull are running a Renault engine, and Renault have not made massive improvements since last year.
No, they haven't. No, you're absolutely right on that front. We've got Felipe Massa in fifth. Sixth, Romain Grosjean. One of the drivers of the race for me, surely. That Haas debuting in, I think the last time we had a brand new team getting the points was 2002 Toyota. And when I say brand new team, I mean a team made from nothing. Not, for example, like with Braun taking over from Honda. I think that's way, that's 10 times more, I think, than Haas could have expected.
I think Haas would have, I can't even remember what they said that their target was for this year. But you've got to admit that, you know, Manor have been in it for years, desperately trying to get points. And then Haas just rock along and just nail it, don't they? And just get so more points than Manor have ever scored.
Depressing, that, isn't it?
Yeah. And the thing is, it wasn't really, okay, it was kind of a bit of a pit strategy, but they weren't exactly poor runners trailing around at the back, were they?
No, I mean, he finished ahead of Hülkenberg. He had the pace to stay there. People couldn't get past.
Yeah.
Yes, it is a difficult circuit to get past, but still, it's not like if Minardi was up in sixth, it probably would have been passed eventually by a lot of cars. So Hülkenberg obviously seventh, Bottas disappointing in eighth. Now, let's talk Carlos Sainz and Max Verstappen. What did you think of Max Verstappen in the Australian Grand Prix on the last few laps with him on the radio shouting and complaining?
Do you know what? It's such a difficult, I don't know, it's so difficult to discuss. Quickly. Whilst we're also doing this podcast, we have, or in my case, FP1 currently running for Bahrain. And I've just noticed that McLaren is sponsored by Sensodyne toothpaste.
I did not know
on that. The rear wing. So bringing in all the big sponsors.
Sensodyne toothpaste.
Yeah. Anyway, because people say, or certainly during the race, that whole sort of, well, if Max is quicker, then he really needs to be allowed to just get past Carlos Sainz and just go for it. But then, of course, on the other hand, you're saying, well, if he's that quicker, then he has to pass under his own steam, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And it'll be up to him to pass Carlos Sainz and not expect people to just part. And given his behaviour, should we say, on the radio,
And you do want to do that whole sort of childish behaviour of, I want to be in front, let me through, kind of childlike throwing a strop kind of thing. You know, when you kind of look at certain other people, I mean, obviously you hear Fernando Alonso shouting GP2, GP2. There are still a lot of people out there who would still not act the way he would have done over the radio.
It was akin to a petulant teenager almost, wasn't it?
Yeah. And for me, I would say, if he believes he was that quick and wanted to have a go, then he needed to pass him, Carlos, under his own under their own pace and not be let through.
He ended up having a crash, didn't he? Luckily, he didn't take Carlos out. And I think he may have hit Carlos and damaged his front wing.
He did.
Yeah. Idiot.
He went through a bit of a gap that wasn't really there, really.
Desperate attempt.
Yeah, and people are now saying that the sort of, I'll be honest, I don't think those two get on.
No.
At all. I think, and I suppose it's quite difficult when you've got, and I say it, when you've got almost two teenagers driving on a team, that it is really difficult to, you know, they're not mature adults that have been racing for years. They are two basically kids, and kids don't get on, when they don't get on with people, they show it, don't they? And there's none of this whole grown up attitude of, I'll just accept that I don't get on with them, but I'll still be mature about it.
Yeah, I completely agree. And are you in the same boat? Bearing in mind, I think we both agreed last season, and we're in the minority, you and I. But are you of the opinion that Max Verstappen is still one of the most overhyped people in Formula One?
Yes, I still believe that I would not be picking him to drive at a top team anytime soon, just because of his lack of experience, and I think he needs to curb his attitude a bit.
Yes.
People like Ferrari, I could never see Ferrari nowadays employing such a young driver. I know Felipe was quite young, but I just think that, especially when you're in the whole Toro Rosso sort of seat, when you had Kvyat and stuff. I mean, Kvyat's not really done much since he left there, and there's that always that worry that someone else goes along, because they were bigging up Kvyat to be the next best thing, and he's not done anything. Could that be the case for Verstappen? Goes to a team and...
Yeah, you're right. I mean, the thing about the team is they both know they have to beat one another in the team.
Yeah.
Come the end of the season. And you're right. And Danny Kvyat, all the plaudits. Yes, he did beat Daniel Ricciardo last year in the points. But a lot of people said that Daniel Ricciardo did have the much worse luck throughout the season. And when things were on par, Daniel Ricciardo, when things were going smoothly, was better than Kvyat.
I think you'll see Kvyat. I know it's quite easy. It's a bit. I can't say it now, but on the basis of one race. I think Kvyat will be gone by the end of the season, and Verstappen will be at Red Bull for next season. Only because I just see that's what Red Bull do, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think.
That is a bold prediction, Alex.
It is. My first prediction of the year.
Your first prediction of the year. Kvyat gone for next year and replaced by Max Verstappen.
You heard it here first.
Jolyon Palmer in the Renault and Kevin Magnussen in the Renault, 11th and 12th. I think Palmer did quite well for his first Grand Prix, bearing in mind that Renault is not going to be that fast.
No. It's a question for you.
Yeah.
What is your belief or interpretation of the livery of that?
I don't know.
Would you have run the black livery pre-testing? Or would you run that current sort of yellowish
Jordan?
The Jordan kind of, yeah, but it's not as bright as the Jordan, no. Is it? Livery.
I mean, that livery, it looks different. It does make Kevin Magnussen look like a peeled banana.
He did.
I mean, I like it. I preferred the black and yellow livery of the classic Renault, you know?
Yeah, I think the classic livery, also looking at these previous old 70s and 80s races, the Renaults ran with black, white. Yellow and white.
Yeah.
And this just seems to be all yellow. Now, I appreciate, I think Renault's sort of commercial colour is yellow.
Yeah.
So I understand why they have to run it. However, if they want to kind of run it based on sort of old colours, I thought I would have seen a bit more white in there.
Yeah, no, you're right, you're right.
And so for me, like you say, it's just a flying banana.
Yeah, it does look a bit like that, doesn't it? But then again, I mean, what it's nice that Renault bought the latest team. Hopefully they're not in financial trouble anymore. And, you know, hopefully they improve. I mean, I think they got two solid drivers. I think Palmer's not unproven, but could potentially be good. Magnussen, we know, is not rubbish, but he didn't set the world alight at McLaren. So it'll be interesting to see how these two get on.
Yeah.
Perez finishing 13th. And then we have the top McLaren, a lap down in 14th. Jensen Button. Oh, painful.
And pre-season was looking so good for them. I say so good. Looked a lot better.
Well, yeah. I mean, even after qualifying, you didn't feel that Jensen Button would be finishing 14th.
No.
No. Either something they just had a very, very bad race, or I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll see, really. I don't think we can really completely judge on their pace until maybe we get to... You know, by the time we maybe get to the Spanish Grand Prix, when all the kinks are ironed out. But they didn't start positively. I mean, I think you and I can definitely agree on that.
No, I think I was quite surprised, and I expected more from them, and I think they probably expected more. I expected them certainly ahead of Force India.
I honestly did. I think McLaren are gonna expect to be ahead of Force India at worst behind Williams and Red Bull, but yeah, somewhere there. That's what they minimum, in terms of a minimum effort, need to be doing.
Yeah, and ahead of Renault.
Yeah, and ahead of Renault, and it looked like though it might be on for that potentially after qualifying, but no.
Yeah, no. It's just no. I don't. I mean, you've probably got more things to say about it than I have, but
I'm just disappointed, that's all. I'm just disappointed.
We can only assume it's, again, down to the engine. Lack of power on the engine. Still.
Well, let's hope so, let's hope so. I mean, this is the first year that Pedromo, Peter P from Red Bull has had, obviously, his say in what the car's going to be like.
Mm.
So you know, let's see. Nasser finished 15th, and Pascal Wehrlein in the Manor finished 16th, a lap down. Retirement was Ericsson. Raikkonen having a fire in his Ferrari, casually getting out of the car.
Yeah.
Rio, I forgot his name. He comes with lots of Indonesian money. Interestingly, the tweets for the best driver of the day, he got the most tweets.
He did. Now, I've got an article which I just published on our Twitter account. Was they spoke to him about that today, and he knew prior, or just after the race, that he was up or going to win Driver of the Day awards.
Mm-hmm.
And he then said he was then advised that he didn't win it, and he was shocked by the decision.
Were you shocked by the decision?
Well, looking at the article, the article reads that the FIA basically realised that there was a lot of voting duplication going on, and then started to remove the duplication. And when they removed the duplicate votes, that's when the driver of the day was changed.
Who was the driver of the day in the end?
Grosjean, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess you can't really argue that, can you?
Yeah. But it would appear that what they're saying is that the amount of support that, how do you pronounce it? Is it
Rio Harayanto? I don't know.
Harayanto, the amount of support that he has, but like social media, that he could be up for winning that award every single race.
Yes, even though he didn't do anything during
Exactly. And so I think Formula One are going to be in a bit of a difficult situation there, because he's saying, or he's quoted as saying today, that he's more than happy to accept the award, even though he might do absolutely nothing in the race.
So a dick, clearly.
Yeah, because you know, as a Formula One driver, I appreciate, you know, if you're going to get an award for actually doing something really well or thinking you've done really well. But if he doesn't do well, you would be kind of going, you know what, this isn't for me. You know, I do apologise, but you really shouldn't be giving it to me. But he's happy to accept it, that the system potentially could be flawed. But we'll see how the next couple of races go and who wins it.
Yes. Hopefully not him then, after that comment. No. But yeah, Fernando Alonso and Esteban Gutierrez had the mother of all crashes. One of the worst crashes we've seen for quite a few years.
Crack seat.
Supposedly, yes. And Alonso out for Bahrain.
And likely to be China.
Really? I saw that story as well.
Well, given that he said he's got, was it one cracked rib?
Yeah.
Well, it's a weird one, because what they're saying is if you've got a cracked rib, the chances are that is not going to be healing overnight.
No.
And it takes something like 4 to 6 weeks to heal, which would knock you out of China as well. However, someone did say the other day that when Coulthard had his plane crash,
yes,
he cracked something like 2 to 4 ribs or something.
He did, and yeah, and then he still raced at the Spanish Grand Prix and got on the podium.
Yeah. So people think there's a bit more to it than just a cracked rib.
Oh, no, that's no. It's because Coulthard's a different class of driver than Alonso.
Oh, okay, sorry.
When it comes to pain management and driving.
He can just drive through it.
He can.
Oh, okay.
No, you're right. There may well be a bit more to it. It's kind of similar about a year ago when Alonso missed the Australian Grand Prix for what can only be, you know, I don't think we still know the full story on that.
No. I'm not going to say that Alonso, we don't know the full story. What I guess is that, as well as a cracked rib, he's suffering from some other pain of some sort, or I don't know, some sort of vision problem or something along those lines. But again, whether they're doing, like you say, from testing last year in Barcelona, the whole, oh, well, you know, he's just recovering and they're not going into too much detail.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Well, I find it, what's interesting is that they've taken it right to yesterday to say, oh, by the way, he's not racing.
That was a very late decision, wasn't it?
Yeah, especially when they would have known he cracked ribs. Yeah. Straight away.
No, absolutely. It is interesting. I mean, the only other person that failed to finish was Daniel Kvyat, who failed to start. Going into the news then, and quickly, briefly talking about Alonso, his replacement's going to be Stoffel Vandoorne.
You're the McLaren fan.
Well, he's meant to be very good. He's the GP2 champion. He won the GP2 championship in, let's be honest, quite dominant fashion in terms of, you know, I wouldn't say cruise to it, but he wasn't really challenged too much.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to be on par with Jenson Button come qualifying, which I think he could do.
I have no doubt that he's going to get in this car. I mean, did he do a lot of winter testing at all?
He did some, yeah.
He did some. My understanding is that from colleagues in GP2, he is one of, what was it, the team that you raced for? Was it ART?
I think it was.
That they reckon it was the best driver that they ever had at the team. Someone who raced alongside him, I forget his name, said it was the best teammate he's ever had. I, as Jenson Button, would be slightly concerned. Because he's the one who's going to replace you, isn't he?
Yes.
If you do well, he's not going to be replacing Alonso, let's be honest.
No, I think that'll be up to Alonso, not McLaren, whether, you know, if for whatever reason Alonso decided to leave McLaren.
Yeah.
But yeah, he is going to replace Jenson. I agree.
And if these next couple of races are anything to go by, it will be interesting to see how those two compare with one another. And if he does outshine Jenson Button,
I think you're right. I think on a level playing field with no driver having any problems, if he outshines Jenson Button, and when I say outshine, he kind of needs to beat him by 3 or 4 places to be absolutely concrete. You know, by he got a better start, Jenson couldn't get by him because the cars are shit. No. He needs to do really, really solid. But I think, as you're saying, this guy is very talented. It is possible. I mean, you know, it will be interesting. And if he does do a good job for Bahrain and or China, if he's there, I think he has a contract by the end of the year for McLaren.
Yeah.
Having said that, the danger could be, I'm not saying, I'm just throwing mud in the water now, Alex. He does an amazing job. Yeah. For whatever reason, Mercedes are tired of either Rosberg and Hamilton. More likely to be Rosberg, and you know, realistically, Van Dorn's up for grabs. So let's offer him a good money contract. I mean, I'm saying, but that's not out of the blue. I mean, if I was Mercedes, and if it was looking like last year, Hamilton's going to win with ease, Rosberg's just there, and I'm thinking I need to look for the future. And Pascal Van, I've got his Van Line or whatever. In the manor, it wasn't doing amazingly. And Stoffel Van Dorn did it. I would be sending a check his way. I mean, you would, though, wouldn't you, as a manager? You'd think about it.
Yeah.
I don't know whether McLaren's got a first dibs on him. However, as we know, contracts mean nothing in Formula One.
No, and, you know, because they all talk about Max Verstappen going to Ferrari. Well, I would have thought that Red Bull would have had first dibs on whether they want Max.
Yeah. You don't want him to go to Ferrari, though, do you?
No.
Would you rather Grosjean than go?
Just on the fact that, for me, I just don't like cocky, arrogant drivers, and that's how I feel about Max.
Is that why you like Lewis so much?
That is why I like Lewis so much.
But what did you think of him? He got arrested, didn't he?
Well, let's shall we discuss Lewis?
Yes.
While
yes,
we're
let's,
on
let's.
The news. So, whilst he was in New Zealand prior to the Australian Grand Prix, he got himself into trouble twice. Number one was he went on Twitter to basically name and shame a casino in New Zealand for what appeared to be sort of chucking him out.
Yep.
Something like, I'll never be there. I'll never see them again. They treated me unfairly or treated me unwell or something along those lines. And he went on Twitter. Now, again, it's one of those whole, you know, you're professional. You know, if you've got an issue with something, don't go, you know, you're a celebrity. These things get picked up by the press. Do you know what I mean? And they'll go to town on everything. I wouldn't have done it, obviously. No. And it turns out we believe that the casino have quite a strict dress code about, which is fair enough.
It's Wimbledon all over again, isn't it?
It kind of is. It's something about, you know, you're not allowed sunglasses on, you're not allowed hats on, that kind of thing. And it would appear possibly he turned up to the casino with all that lot on, and I guess what they told him was to take it off or get out. And that's what the news article's saying, but I wouldn't put it past the news article, given that Lewis is seen a lot of the time with sunglasses and hats on, even inside. And so he's then obviously gone to Twitter to say that he was probably unfairly chucked out.
That's what's so good about Twitter, though. Where the amount of celebrity fails we have over Twitter, because it's available there and then. When they're pissed, they want to say something.
Yeah.
And then exactly. They think, I should have done that.
Exactly. And then the last time, which probably was more evidence...
Well, let's talk about evidence, yeah? The evidence, it was yes or no. You did it or you didn't. I mean, when you actually look at the proof. Unless Lewis Hamilton, he got caught taking selfies, essentially, on a bike.
Wasn't it a video as well?
Like a selfie video, sorry.
Yeah.
On a bike, right? Even in England, that would be illegal. Now, the interesting thing is, was it he was let go because there wasn't enough evidence, they said. Supposedly.
Yeah, despite being on a phone, because you're recording yourself, they decided not to pursue.
I thought, okay, well, the only way around that is Lewis must have had one of his men running or on another bike, taking a picture video for him, potentially. This man clearly hasn't come forward yet.
No.
But that's the only way around it. I mean, I don't understand about the evidence. That's ridiculous.
I don't know if, obviously, it's New Zealand law, and I appreciate that their law is you can't use a mobile phone whilst driving or riding, I assume. Unless, of course, that kind of law doesn't count towards foreign citizens and that they can't really do... Because maybe, and I'm only saying maybe, that by the time that some sort of official came across that, he was out of the country and in Australia, and it was then going to be difficult...
And it didn't have a New Zealand driving license either, which I know in the UK is sometimes a sticking point for some things.
Yeah, because all they would have done is find him. But I guess when he's out of the country and he's long gone, it would have been too much hassle or too much effort to find someone.
But then Hamilton even admitted that what he did was stupid.
Yeah. But,
so he admitted to the actual offence in the first place.
But in short, he made two errors which were picked up quite quickly within a couple of days of each other prior to Australia. And it kind of does leave you start to think, doesn't it, about his sort of... People keep going, oh, he just wants to be like James Hunt. And then you've got that whole, yeah, but James Hunt, whilst he was a ladies' man, he was a gentleman. And at the same time, he might have been a bit arrogant, but he didn't do stupid things as such, did he? He's not a James Hunt, is he?
No. But I do think, from Mercedes' point of view, and a lot of that, as long as he wins on Sunday, there won't be too many questions. It's the minute that, and at the Australian Grand Prix, let's be honest, I do feel that he got a rubbish start, silly Lewis. Wasn't all his fault in Rosberg, but he had nowhere to go. However, he was faster than Rosberg. I think had he got that start, he would have finished ahead of Rosberg. I've no doubt about that. However, I think if as long as he can show he's got the speed and he beats Rosberg on a Sunday, I don't think Mercedes and a lot of his fans are gonna question it. What will happen, similar to last year, is if he starts to fall behind Rosberg and carry on with his partying tactics, that's when it's going to have a mass effect on him.
Yeah, he's that will do. But I think they were saying last year towards the end of the season he wasn't winning, was he? Because he was affected by, I can't remember what it was now, something affected him and they thought...
He said the car, they changed the direction of the car, the way the development was, which didn't suit him. That's what Lewis said.
Yeah, but I thought the press were saying that something was getting to... Was it his... It wasn't his breakup, was it?
I don't know.
Or something along those lines. But he's just really got to be careful because obviously he is a...
sensitive chap.
Yeah, clearly.
there we go. Now, the big piece of F1 news I'm sure people would like us to talk about is something that I'm very passionate about. Sky F1 have an exclusive deal from 2019 to, I think, for 5 years to 2024.
Mm-hmm.
They have the exclusive rights to show F1 live on Sky Sports F1. They have said they do, I think because of some prearranged agreement, have to show the British Grand Prix live on a free-to-air, unless they do it for maybe one or two more races. And I think highlights may well be free-to-air, but... I will have a rant on it, Alex. But
I think you need to because you use terrestrial television for F1 more than I do.
I do. I prefer the terrestrial F1 feed. When for example the BBC's live, I'll always watch the BBC live.
Yeah.
I cancel my Sky Sports F1, and what I do on the Now TV when I'm home for a Grand Prix weekend, like Australia, I will do the $6.99 pass. For the day and watch it. I think it's just, I think it's really, really bad for Formula One. It's bad for new fans. The problem is this sport is very, very greedy. Kind of reminds me of boxing in the heyday before it all went pear-shaped. And the problem you've got is they've taken all this money now from Sky. Now, the issue you have is people say, Oh, but football's like it. Cricket's like it. No, it's not. Football is a mass sport. The World Cup is free on TV. The Euro Cup is free. And you, and as you know, Alex, you can go out there, watch a football match whenever you want, go kick a ball. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And even going to a Premiership match for your team, £20-30 can get you a ticket. Yeah. Okay? And mm-hmm. There's plenty of matches you can watch for the Premiership. There's only one F1 race a year that comes to your country. F1 is not as accessible as football. You can't use that argument. And also, you're hiding Formula One behind a massive paywall. Now, the sponsors love the amount of TV. They love the casual viewers. Yeah. We are part of the hardcore. Now, when you look at the fact that the BBC get about 3-4 million a race, mm-hmm. yeah? Sky gets about 650,000 on average mm-hmm. to watch a race. That's not many eyes on your on your package. Bear in mind the UK is one of the biggest markets for Formula One. And so not only are you hiding it behind a paywall, so unless you're a hardcore F1 fan, you're not going to watch it. And there's quite a few Formula One fans that still might not get Sky Sports because Formula One is the only sport they watch, and it doesn't cross over with football and rugby all the time. And in terms of new fans, I mean, Alex, you and I discovered Formula One very likely the same by flipping over on those channels and then thinking, oh, this is good. I watched this. I can't wait till the next race now. And kind of just coming across it. It wasn't mm-hmm. a case of you did not sit there, and a new fan won't sit there and think, I'm going to now spend 50 to £70 because I want to watch F1, even though I've not watched it before. On a whim. That's not going to happen. You will not get any new fans. And I think in about 6-7 years' time, the sport is in danger of becoming a lot more irrelevant on UK. And I think it's so damaging and so short-sighted for the sport. I can understand Sky want their exclusive Formula One, but Sky is bleeding people. People are leaving Sky left, right and centre. Going to BT Sport and all these other things and in this generation where I mean even IndyCar for example on YouTube you can watch the races for free I think after they're done you know and things like and I think people like the British Touring Car Championship on ITV4 are mm-hmm. rubbing their hands now because that's free and arguably they do provide a better package in terms of racing all the way through the day but there we go it's hurting the sport. It's not good. I cannot see one positive other than the people like Bernie Ecclestone and the teams getting a big wad of money initially, but they're really hurting themselves for the future really badly in the UK. And if this, in any other country that obviously hides it behind a paywall. There you go. I mean, what's your thoughts, Alex?
To sum up, I'm getting the impression you're not overly keen on it.
I think it's a really bad decision, yeah.
Okay. So obviously this is all about money.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about Bernie. I say it's all about money. So Bernie obviously charges X amount of money for a broadcaster to be able to show Formula One on their television, i.e. Bernie will say, right, to BBC, it's £30 million for you to show X amount of races. BBC obviously have a budget and they've now realised that actually we can't afford to, or it doesn't pay for us to have Formula One anymore.
That's another interesting point that you bring up. It doesn't pay. People like ITV and Channel 4, obviously, to some companies, it doesn't pay. Is it, then the question, one question is, Formula One, there's not as many people watching it as there was maybe even 8-9 years ago.
Yeah.
And then you have to wonder, other than Sky, have other TV companies looked at it? The BBC dropped it because they felt it wasn't good value for money and they needed something to go.
Mm. Well, everything is a business. Everyone is running a business nowadays, aren't they?
They are.
So ITV and Channel 4, we'll take them as the same, have money. They're public. No, they're not public. They're a private organisation which generate money from advertising and selling their products to obviously other countries. And like everything, they have to, what we see on television has to be paid for by advertising and they have to make money from it. There's no point getting in, let's say, I don't know, hypothetically, British Touring Car paying $5 million a year to broadcast it, and out of that they make $2 million from advertising, because then they're $3 million down, and then what's the point of showing it?
True.
So the BBC as a whole are paid for by me and you.
Yep.
But they also have to justify certain contracts and everything like that. Now, if they basically say that we all pay money towards the licence fee, and at the end of the day, actually, the Premiership football is more important, and they have to put money towards the football, and they got to put money towards this and so forth, they're going to look at Formula One and go, we can't justify the large amount of money. Now, that's going to be because Bernie, let's be honest, we all know, charges an horrendous amount of money for Formula One to be broadcast on television, doesn't he? And he doesn't budge. And
no, he doesn't. Oh, never mind, mate. Never mind.
Hello.
That's just my phone. Carry on.
Was that Bernie again?
It was. He's getting upset.
He's getting upset. And I think he made some sort of, he negotiated, didn't he, to say last year when BBC said, look, we can't broadcast F1 anymore. And so, but obviously BBC had pulled the plug, and out of the blue, Channel 4 came along. So Channel 4 coverage is being paid for by advertising. And that will obviously go. And then, so what we're left with is Formula One, like you say, being broadcast on Sky. So it's a bit like Premiership football. You'll only be able to watch it on a paid subscription. I very much doubt BBC or ITV are going to do a highlights package.
No.
After the race. So what we'll see, and let's be honest, is unless you're an avid Formula One fan and you buy the package, or you find a F1 all right, but at the same time, what you're doing is you'll say you love your football, in which case you've automatically got Sky Sports anyway because of the football, and then you've got the F1 channel. But I think for those that like, and I say like, Formula One, are not massively into it, but at the same time are not massively into their football, so they don't have Sky Sports, you'll lose those altogether.
You will. I mean, there is a £40 to £50 almost paywall to watch Formula One. Now, it's not a case of you get Sky and, it's another £5-10 a month to get a Formula One, which would then maybe be about £30-35 a month, maybe. Yeah. I think the issue is that they're hiding F1 behind a very expensive paywall. That's the problem, because to get a new package now for Sky, unless you're one of the old customers that used to have the HD package and it was tagged on and you're not changing your package, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Carry on. If you want to watch F1 now, you need to get the Sky Sports package.
Yeah.
And for me, I was paying, I think, £70 for that, £70 a month. Which, when you've got other bills to pay and stuff, you have to question, if that's the only reason you're paying £70 to watch Formula One, you work out that is a lot of money per year.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do the maths, but it's a lot. It's enough to go to a couple of Grand Prix at the very least, in good seats. You're right, therein lies the problem. If Sky, okay, the races are available at £6.99, almost like a pay-per-view. That's not exactly cheap. It's not stupidly expensive. But if they, for example, had it on Freeview where you could arrange to watch the F1 channel between £10 to £15 a month, I think a lot more people, and even people that like Formula One, to have that access to it, £15 a month on a paper, on a paper month basis like Netflix, I think people would pay for that if Sky had a Sky F1 app where you could view all the like old races and stuff, and made it a bit like Netflix, but then you could watch the live feed. And I think even at £15, they would still make a massive profit, because a lot of people that don't have Sky would get it. Now, they lose out on the Sky Sports, but people aren't going to do that. As you said, people that like F1 and any other casual fan, that if they don't watch any other sport, you can't justify in a family household an extra £70 simply to watch Formula One.
Unless they change the way that they market it and set it up at a separate channel for, let's say, £10 a month from whenever they take over the exclusive broadcast, you are going to see
And let's be honest, everyone's going to know, they're going to see a massive drop off.
I know. I mean, Sky saw a big drop off the last year anyway. Yeah. I mean, partly because the season was, I think you and I were saying, really, really boring. And hopefully they won't. But if they have another equally boring season this year, it's looking like they won't. But if they do, it's going to drop more F1 fans because there's a lot more competition now for people's time. I mean, you've got the touring cars, but then you have like the YouTube generation, you know, which watch things there and then, you know, the people on Netflix and things like that. There's a lot more competition with Formula One. I mean, F1 is, you watch sport to be entertained as well.
Yeah.
And if it's not going to be entertaining and not viable, people are going to find something else.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but there we go. I mean, I guess I guess we'll see. And what a kicker in the teeth for Channel 4, paying for this all new coverage and then Sky get the exclusive deal. I mean, that is a massive kick in the teeth.
Mm. Are you going to be watching Channel 4 this weekend then?
I will be. Yeah. I mean, I've got a Sunday off, but I'm off to the touring cars. So what I'll probably get to do is record the Channel 4 live feed.
Okay.
And then watch when I get home. I thought Channel 4 did a very good job. I think Sky did a solid job, but I sometimes think some of their lifestyle pieces and stuff is just a bit a desperation to cover the minutes before the race and things, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not very interesting. I mean, I like Johnny Herbert. I think Damon Hill's okay. He can be a bit dull. I think David Croft and Martin Brundle are a solid commentary team, but then so is David Coulthard. And, I forgot the other guy. Edwards.
Edwards, that's one.
Yeah, I think Ben Edwards is a better commentator than Crofty anyway. But,
yeah.
But obviously, I think that's just a matter of opinion. So, I mean, how do you feel? I mean, we both basically have got Sky over the years to watch Formula 1. How do you feel about Sky? Forget how much you paid for it, but as an actual Formula 1 coverage for the race and qualifying, etc. I mean, what do you think? Do they do a good job?
I don't generally have too much of an issue with it, to be honest.
Okay.
I think they do a reasonable amount. The only thing I probably would prefer is to either be able to do a more historic F1 races.
Yes.
Because I keep seeing the usual interviews with Eddie Irvine on his yacht about how much
the lies.
Schumacher used to idolise Eddie and how Michael would copy Eddie Irvine's setups, you know, those kind of things. And I think they surely should be able to just throw more F1 races. You know, you should be able to just flick on during the week and just find...
I completely... I would like there, as I mentioned, to be like an on-demand. So maybe like every 2 weeks between the Formula 1 races, they have five or six new historic F1 races, which you can almost watch on like a Netflix when you go on the Sky Go app, like a click on, you know, their catch-up thing or whatever, or the box sets. You can watch like five or six old F1 races and they change that once every 2 weeks or something.
Yeah.
That'd be nice. Because sometimes it's nice to have it in the background, even. I agree.
That would be nice. But overall, it's not bad. But I don't really watch terrestrial coverage at all. So, or I'm at work most of the time.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. Yeah. So, I mean, so there we go. In terms of other news, we've got, obviously, the Bahrain Grand Prix coming up.
Yeah.
Did you know you'd have to lay 287,356 Lewis Hamiltons to reach end-to-end to reach the 500-kilometre, the amount of cable used to light the Bulgarian Grand Prix.
Oh, wow.
What an interesting fact.
Mm.
And who won last year? It was Mercedes that won last year, wasn't it? So they both got two wins. But Ferrari are still the most successful team at Bahrain with four. So there you go.
Well, we shall see. It's going to be between those two this weekend, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, if you want a track that's going to suit that Mercedes engine, it's going to be like, you know, Austria, this one, and Monza, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because there's not much. When you actually look at the track, there are a few turns and stuff, but it really is. It is. If you've got a good engine, you'll do well. Which makes me feel that Renault and Honda are going to be worried.
I think, but I think from what I understand again this weekend is Ferrari and Mercedes gone very differently down on the tyre route.
And that could make a fantastic race.
Hopefully. If the cars are kind of pretty much good going, as in they're pretty similar, then and it's all going to be down to tyres, then we should be in for a good race.
I mean, as we know, but tyres can be as much as, and I'm not exaggerating, we've seen in the past, the right tyre choice can be as much as a second a lap.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's in extreme circumstances. I mean, I remember the years, it's not the same, when there was a massive difference between the Michelin and the Bridgestone wet. Do you remember?
Yeah.
And how bad Michelin looked in the wet. Yeah. And so tyres can make a massive difference. And this also, what we forgot to talk about, is this third tyre now. They've got three tyres to choose from.
Yeah.
Which I think is a good thing.
Oh, yeah, of course it is. It just spices it out, because it also just leaves you thinking, it just throws that extra element of what's going to happen.
No, absolutely.
Which is nice.
And before we get into our official predictions, qualifying, it's a bit of a farce, isn't it? And they've got Australia, as you probably know, qualifying was a bit of a farce. They said they'll go back to the old qualifying. They didn't. They're having exactly the same for qualifying at Bahrain.
Yes. They can't seem to either figure out what they're going to do, or whether or not it's all about that they need more time to adjust the software on the timing systems and stuff to
change it. It's embarrassing, isn't it?
For a major sport, it always is, yeah.
So, okay, brilliant. So, predictions, Alex. Predictions. What is your prediction for the Bahrain Grand Prix?
Okay. I'm going to say Rosberg first, Vettel second.
This is where you went wrong last year, you remember?
What was it?
It was your hatred of Hamilton that I think ultimately cost you winning it.
Oh, okay. And Vettel third.
So where are we going?
Rosberg first, Vettel second, Hamilton third.
Rosberg first, Vettel second. Wow. That is interesting.
Thanks. And you?
I'm going for... Let me quickly get my new note page up. So you're going for Rosberg, Vettel, Hamilton.
Yeah.
Okay, I am going, funny enough, the opposite. I'm going for Hamilton, Vettel, and then Rosberg.
Oh. Good way to start.
I know. I mean, yeah, sadly we didn't do it for Australia, but there we go. I guess we'll see. Now, before we go, Project Cars, quick news update. They've released their patch 10.
We are up to patch 10 now.
Yeah, we are up to patch 10. And they're also releasing a Game of the Year edition on May the 6th, which is almost a year after it got released.
Yes.
All the actual additional cars, 125 in total, four tracks. Extra tracks, that is. Interestingly, I hope those tracks work, because they still don't.
Mm-hmm.
60 community created liveries and 500 plus features and improvements that have been added since launch. They've got the iconic combined Nürburgring combined Nordschleife. And two Project Cars exclusive vehicles from Pagani, the Zonda.
Yeah.
Which all looks very nice.
Yes. So basically, it's every patch that's been released, every DLC that's been released since the launch, piled into one game, which you can buy.
Yeah. Having said that, a Game of the Year edition, I mean, if they're going to charge it at £50 full price, I don't know whether many people are going to go and buy it, because a lot of people that want Project Cars would have bought it by now.
Yes.
And ultimately, if they want any new people to buy it, you need to really have that around the £30 mark, I'd say, anyway.
Yeah, I think you are going to attract people who are, I want to say, you know when PlayStation did that, what they call the Platinum Edition games?
Oh, yeah, £20.
Yeah, and it's kind of like that, because like you say, if you've wanted that game, you would have had it by now, and realistically, you're aiming at a market of... If you like car racing games, you might as well get this, but you can't be avid, because if you're an avid racing game, you would have had it by now.
Yeah, Yeah, especially on the PS4, because it's really the only hardcore racing simulator that we've got. I mean, forgetting F1 2016, because that's just Formula 1.
Yeah.
So, it'd be interesting. I mean, Assetto Corsa is out in June, hopefully. Unfortunately, yeah. that's been delayed. We don't really have any news of F1 2016.
Other than it's being tested at the moment.
No, I don't think you and I care really, though, do we? I mean, we got so little. We probably played F1 for together. I probably played it for less than 10 hours, which is, I think the it's the least I've ever played a Formula One game that I bought. I can happily say that. I don't know about you.
I might have played a few more hours more than that, but I don't think I ever did. I certainly never did a full race.
No.
Full race or anything.
No, I think even when in the season mode, well, what they want to call that, I think I got to China and gave up. So
that, whilst I've got you then, let's go on my game app and say how much it would cost if I wanted to trade it in.
What, F1 2016? Okay, yeah. Let's see. What is it worth? What is F1 2015 worth? On the 1st of April. April Fool's Day.
Keyword, F1. Well, PS4. F1 2015, PS4.
Yep.
Trade-in, £12.
Is that credit or cash?
Trade-in's £12, cash is £8.40.
It failed, Alex.
Yeah.
It failed. I think that really much concludes our show, unless you've got anything else to say.
I've got one thing.
Oh, yeah?
Which I only discovered this morning. And that's on Assetto Corsa.
Oh, okay.
Did you know Assetto Corsa does not... You can only race in daylight, and you can only have one weather condition, and that is dry and sunny.
Really?
Yes.
That's shit.
It doesn't do changeable weather conditions.
So it's basically like Gran Turismo.
Yes, basically.
I
and some people are then saying I don't think I should be paying upwards of 45 to 50 quid for a game then that doesn't have dynamic things and various bits and bobs like that.
I mean, Project Cars. The idea of the dynamic weather and the way you can set it up, I thought was. It was a massive plus. It was one of the selling points of the game for me.
And yeah.
It's a shame it didn't really work as well as intended. And I still think it doesn't work as well as it should do.
But I think that's just... I think it works well. I just don't think it's the tyres that caused the issue.
Yeah, it's the tyres that caused the issue. And I mean, the amount of times, for example, there where I think I've beaten you one race where it was soaking wet and you were only about 3-4 seconds a lap faster when... If it wasn't, you know, real life, you would have been 20 seconds a lap faster, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and in terms of that, and but the idea is absolutely fantastic. And I think that's a massive dip for Assetto Corsa. I know Forza 6, it doesn't have changeable weather, but you can race in the wet and you can race at night and you can race at different times of the day.
Yeah.
But it won't change during that race. I mean, even that, I probably would have accepted. I would have been okay with that. The game and the cars and tracks on throughout, you know, the DLC has to be so very, very, it has to be so good then to entice people to play.
Otherwise, well, Assetto Corsa have just done a free DLC, I think, for PC anyway, obviously, because that's what it's on. And it gave away a number of GT3 cars and it was free.
Oh, that's not too bad then.
But I think looking at it, and I'm not going to make a commitment now. I will wait to see what like the final list of tracks and cars are. Because if it's more of a road car game, then I'm not going to do it. Because we don't use road cars on racing games.
No. I mean, no, you're right. The big thing with the only thing I don't regret about Project Cars, because I think, I mean, we've definitely got our £40 to £50 worth, haven't we, playing that game?
Yeah.
Yeah. But the only thing I would have liked... more than anything, was a much better, like we had the GT3 cars, a much better selection of touring cars that we could race with each other. Because that's another discipline I really, really enjoy racing. And possibly better Formula A are probably the two things I would have liked.
Yeah.
Formula A, more touring car, which they supposedly promised us, which hasn't been delivered.
No.
And fixes for Hockenheim and Silverstone.
I mean, that should be expected.
They're still not done. And the tyre management should have been working from day one, not every patch that gets released, they change it again and again and again.
I know. I mean, I remember we did online races where our tyres, obviously, they put the tyre gauge in, which was good, which went down to zero. So you and I pitted, and the people still out there, which had zero tyres, let's say, were still, about a second slower than us. And we should have been destroying them, and they ended up winning. Do you remember
yeah.
that? I mean, there's been, yeah. And that's just an example of the not very good tyre management. But I think we can kind of, Project Cars is a new game. If all that was fixed for Project Cars 2, I'd be more than happy. So,
yeah, exactly.
And I don't know when Project Cars 2 is coming out. Is it this year?
It will be this year, won't it? But they've not even given a date.
No, they haven't even given a date. It'd be interesting because we know they're working on it. Because if they're going to finish with the DLC this around now for Project Cars, they yeah. kind of need to get Project Cars 2 out this year.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll see.
We shall.
But there we go. But then that is our that's our show, boys and girls. And I guess we'll catch up with you after the Bahrain Grand Prix.
Yes, we shall do. I look forward to it.